I want you guys to give a warm welcome to my friend all the way from Seattle and Tacoma, Washington. His name is Jordan McLeod. Give a warm welcome to Jordan.
Hello, hello. Good morning, good morning. Oh, you guys are still sleepy. Good morning. All right, that was a little bit better. That was a little bit better. Well, my name is Jordan McLeod, just like my friend Josh was saying, and I'm super excited to share with you this morning, and it's such an honor just to stand before you, and I'm just going to share a little bit of my story before I go into my message, but I wanted to honor your pastors of this house for allowing us to come over here and fellowship and minister to you. So give it up for your pastors and elders. I just wanted to thank you for this opportunity. And I want to honor Josh over here. Josh has been a huge encouragement in my life. I've known him for 5 years, and we found out about each other through mutual friends. And I had a mutual friend, and she said, I want you to meet this guy named Josh. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, and, you know. And a little bit, probably a few years later, we actually met each other in person. So we've been knowing about each other for 5 years, but in person 3 years, and now we're traveling throughout the U.S. doing ministry. And so I'm just super excited for the opportunity for so many different reasons, right? The world that we live in with so much division and chaos and so many things that are going on in our world. But I'm originally from Seattle. Is anybody from Seattle here? I know I see some Russell Wilson jerseys and, okay, all right. So, yeah, I'm originally from Seattle. Grew up with my mom and my dad at the time. I don't remember the time it actually happened, but I remember when the time in which it happened, my dad divorced my mom and left me and my older brother. And so I grew up without my father. And I don't remember the age that I was when he left us, but he left probably when I was about 2 or 3. And I just remember growing up and seeing my mom. My mom was the first Christian in my family. I didn't grow up in the inheritance of wealth in terms of family members down the family line that serve God. And so if that's your story, praise God, that's amazing. I'm hoping to continue that with my life. And but my mom, she got saved when she was 16 years old. But her father was a pimp. He was a womanizer, did drugs, sold drugs in the streets of Seattle. So my mom grew up really fast. And I never had the opportunity to meet my grandmother. She passed away when she was 40 over a heroin overdose. So I never had the chance to meet her. So my family is very, when I look back, I see how it's been very dysfunctional. You would kind of look in and see how nothing good can come out of that, right? Nothing good can come out of a family like that. But we serve a good God that steps in. He steps into brokenness. He steps into where sin is running rampant. And that worship song, that hymn that we're singing, that's not a worship song for me. That is something that hits my heart, where God literally redeemed me and saved my life. And so I'm very thankful that God brought me out of so many different things. And one of the pivotal moments of me coming to know the Lord for myself, I was 17 years old, but a year before that, my grandpa was like my role model, my father figure, my real dad's grandpa. And he was in his deathbed, and he had colon cancer, and his skin was deteriorating, and you could see his bones. And I remember looking at him and seeing him on his bed, and I just started weeping uncontrollably. And I can't remember if I went to the next room or I stayed in the same room. I don't know if you ever asked yourself this question, but I asked myself this question. I said, if I die, where am I going to go? No one told me about God. No one shared the gospel with me. I just literally asked that question, but I couldn't answer it. Until a year later, my best friend's uncle shared the gospel with me. He told me about Jesus. And when he began to explain the gospel to me, it totally lifted the blinders off my eyes. And I was like, how do I get that? How do I get this Jesus that you're talking about? And that's when God shifted my life from then in 2008. And so I'm just thankful for the radical love of God. Amen. Just how he chases you down when you didn't even think about him. when he loved you before you had an ability to even love him back. That's amazing love. That's the God that we serve. And so the title of my message, I'm transitioning to my message now, but the title of my message is Honor in the Kingdom, Honor in the Kingdom. And I'm so thankful to be a part of the family of God. I'm a family man. I love being with Eric and the opportunities where we would love to be with him, but he would be with his family. And I told him yesterday, I just said, I respect that so much. Because there's a lot of, you know, I don't condemn anybody, but there's a lot of pastors that are too busy building their own kingdom and not their family. And many pastors, successful, well-known pastors, have said that if they can go back, they would spend way more time with their family instead of building what they were building. And so I just want to tell you, not only do you have a God-honoring pastor, you have a God-fearing pastor that loves his family. Amen? But what does it look like in a culture, the culture that we live in, and even way past and up until now, there's so much dishonor in the culture we live in. There's so much dishonor in families. There's so much dishonor in a lot of what happens in the church, and sad to say, amongst church leaders, how people badmouth each other. There's still grace and mercy, and we have to forgive each other. God was not dumb in that. He said in the scriptures of how we're supposed to address each other. But it is sad to see the dishonoring in the government amongst authority that God has established. You think about the BLMs of the world that want to defund the police. You want to think about so many different things that are happening right now, especially this time of election time of Donald Trump or Biden. I'm scrolling on my Facebook and I'm seeing Christians that I know personally that are bad-mouthing Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whatever it is. You don't have to like somebody. You don't have to like their personality. But if you are a Christian, under the sound of my voice this morning, we are to obey Scripture. We're not supposed to follow the ways of the world. We're not supposed to look like the world, sound like the world. The Lord is calling us to honor our government, honor those in authority, honor each other, honor our family members. God is calling us to do that. And this is the way that God set it up in his kingdom. Whatever is set up from his kingdom, he wants to be established in the earth. So honor is not something that is wishy-washy or something that is just random. God wants to advance his kingdom through honor. And this is what I love about God. There's many things I love about God, but turn with me, if you have your Bible with you, to John 12, verse 26. And I'm going to go ahead and read it for the sake of time. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. This is Jesus speaking. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That's one of the things that I like about Jesus, is that if you think about the way Jesus came to the earth, you would think this majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing God coming in the flesh to humanity would come in a different way, right? He was born in a manger. He was homeless. He could have came in a different way. If it was Hollywood, Jesus would have came in with a mansion, and he was well taken care of. Everybody would have carried him so he can minister to people. But Jesus himself is explaining what the Father will do. He says, him my Father will honor. So Jesus is sharing the principles of the kingdom with his disciples. And that's what he's doing with us this morning. And every time we come into the Word, when you read the Word, you're reading the words that are in heaven. You're reading the words of the kingdom. So when we have a different perspective, people look at you and say, oh, you're brainwashed. And you're like, I guess so. In a way, I'm indoctrinated of the kingdom of God because I've been engrafted into his family. And so I wanted to share what honor means. So according to the Logos software, it says, to esteem and treat another with respect because of who they are. And I took it a step further because of the Imago Dei. Some people have been created in the image of God. So in God's kingdom, whether you're black, Mexican, white, whatever your ethnicity is, either you're a believer or not, I am, as a believer, to treat you as if you are created in the image of God, because you are. And so whenever I'm ministering out on the streets, I try my best, obviously. I'm not trying to be rude to the other person. I want to treat them as if they're created in the image of God. I respect them. I treat them with dignity, because God would want that for us to do that. Jesus himself did that. We see that in the Gospels, the way he treated people. The only people that he was coming against were who? Yes. The religious leaders of the day. The harsh words, the mean things that Jesus said that we would consider mean or harsh, it was to the religious leaders. We don't really see him saying it to people that didn't even know God or know what the word was saying. And so we see Jesus actually living out the principles of the kingdom, of when it comes to honoring others. And I want to address the culture in the church. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read that. How you guys doing? Don't fall asleep on me. I'm going to go ahead and read it. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit there, or you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or you sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So we see the kingdom of God through the scriptures and how we are to not only represent the kingdom of God and demonstrate the kingdom of God, but also preaching the kingdom of God. And so we see that in the culture that we live in, right? We can see the culture of the world that they would rather have this prestigious, well-known person to speak for them or to be for their campaign or be for their movement or be for what they're trying to build rather than going to the lowlies of the world, right? Who did Jesus mostly minister to? The lowliest of the world. He did minister to the rich, because we do see the young rich ruler, but Jesus was bringing a kingdom that was for everybody. We live in a culture that's only selective. I only support you if you do this for me. I only support you if you only have money for me. I only support you if you look this certain way. But the kingdom of God is saying that everybody has access to my kingdom. I came to set the captives free. He didn't say I came just for the rich to set them free. He didn't say I came just for the poor to set them free. He said I came for the captives. I came for those that were sick, because I know that they needed a doctor. That's the Jesus that we serve. And so the culture that we live in, we can come desensitized to the culture we live in. It begins to rub off on us. Now we're thinking like them. We're starting to react like them. And this is why it's so important to be in prayer and staying in the Word, because it refreshes our mind of what the kingdom of God is like. But if we don't refresh our minds, then we begin to live like the world that says, well, brother, no, you stay over there. You know, no, sis, you stay over there. But Jesus, James, is talking about personal favoritism. He's talking about just all this stuff that happens in our culture that we can already see. We can see it. We can see it on TV. We can see it on Facebook. We can even see it in our families sometimes, of the personal favoritism. But I want to tell you that God doesn't have any favorites in the kingdom. I want to tell you that there's no superstars in the kingdom of God. So the things that we've created from past until now with ministers and ministries that have, to be honest, have become worldly, where it's the LeBrons of ministry or the Michael Jordans of ministries, instead of equipping the people to expand the kingdom. Many people can't relate to my story. That's why I go out on the streets with other people. Why? Because this person behind me or this person beside me, they can resonate with their story rather than mine's. So we all have a role in the kingdom of God. We all have our lane in the kingdom of God. And I wanted to share a story with you. I was an intern for about a year with this particular church. And towards the end, the internship started to, it was closing time for the internship. So we had a recap session where we talked with the leaders and everything, how we did, how they did. And it was very bad, I'm going to tell you. There was no apologies. It was just total beef from the start to the finish. And I got in my car, left, and I just started weeping. And, a year later, God dealt with me as I was praying in my closet. And I had something else going on. I moved back to Seattle from the internship. And a year later, God started to deal with me. And what I did was I got in my car and I drove 5 hours just to sit down with those leaders that I dishonored, I disrespected, and did not love. I was doing something else as well. But I took 5 hours to talk to these individual leaders that I knew it wasn't right. And how many times do we want to, especially ministers, want to minister to other people and not try to live out the things that God has called us to live out? And so I knew that I was dishonoring them and I did not respect them. And it's way better than what it was. And we still talk to this day. And I realized what God was trying to do in my life during that time of being serious about honoring people. And this is a very, I think the only person I told this to was Josh. There was another moment, this was 2 months ago. I was very upset at my mother because the way that she raised me. I started to get a little bit older and I started thinking back on my past of so many things my mom could have done differently. And so I drove about 21 minutes away from my house to her house. I felt like the Lord wanted me to just end everything. Stop blaming her. Stop dishonoring her. Stop bad-mouthing her behind her back to your other family members. So what I did is I drove 22 minutes to my mother's house, and I repented. And I cried. She cried. We both prayed. And I repented to God first and foremost, but also repented before her because I was dishonoring her not only with my lips, but also in my heart. See, you can honor somebody and say, Pastor, I love you. God bless you. Honor you. Thank you for this opportunity. But in your heart, you despise the person. God is looking at the heart. God is saying, what is in your heart? Let it come out. Because it's not only affecting you, it's affecting the other people around you. So when we dishonor other people, it's not something where it's like me, that it only affects or doesn't affect. No, it affects other people when I dishonor. And so it is just amazing the culture that we live in when it comes to dishonoring people and the dishonoring that goes on. And it's time for the church to return back to honor, not only just with your lips, but also in your heart. That when you even hear people dishonoring other people and you gossip, when you hear people gossip about people that you probably don't even like, you say, no, I'm not even going to be a part of this conversation. It's not because you want to be better than anybody. It's because I know that first and foremost, God is watching me and I want to honor my God. So I know that this displeases God. So why would I partake in something that doesn't please God? When it comes to honor, it comes from, obviously, like I was saying, the kingdom of God, but it amazes me how it continues. It continues. Revelation 4, verse 9, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things by your will. They exist and were created. So honor is obviously coming from the kingdom of God. We see the example from Jesus Christ, and he wants us to continue that ministry of honor on earth because we're expanding God's kingdom while we honor. And then it's obviously continuing in heaven. So honor is not something that is going to stop. Honor is something that continues when we get into heaven. There's a lot of ministries that are happening in heaven right now. If you really think about it. And honor is one of them. Worship is one of them. And also intercession. Matter of fact, it says that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for his saints. So if Jesus is still interceding and honor is still happening in heaven and worship is still happening in heaven, what are we supposed to be doing here? The world should look at you when you begin to honor people. They look at you sideways. Because the culture, again, does not want to honor. The culture does not want to worship God. The culture, the world that we live in, does not want to serve God. So as they see our lives, they're going to be like, you really do believe what you believe. I remember I was ministering in Chicago before I got here, and this man pulled over. I was street preaching with a few friends, and this man busted a Yui off of his Harley, and I love Harleys, but he busts a Yui from his Harley, and he pulls up on the sidewalk. And he says, why are you preaching the word? I said, I believe the word so much. I believe what God has done in my life so much that I want other people to know if they have a willingness to hear. And he said, wow, you really do believe what you believe. I said, yes, I do. Not out of pride, but out of, if God is so good and this word is really, really real and you really live it out, to the best of your ability, you really push yourself to live it out, people will start to be like, I'm starting to believe what you're believing. So God is calling us to this when it comes to the kingdom of God. And we see this example from this guy's YouTube channel. Aeus is his first name. Can't remember his last name. But there was a young kid, before every basketball game, he goes to his father and he honors him because he's in a wheelchair. So he goes to him across the court to his father, honors him, and then goes back to the middle of the court before the game starts. He does that every home game. And not only that, his teammates follow him to do the same thing. And then they go to the middle of the court and they get ready for the game. I want to tell you this morning that when you begin to live out honor, and you begin to obey God and you run to the Father, and you run to the Father, that other people will start to look at your example. That other believers and saints will begin to look at your example. And the people in the crowd that were watching him were blown away because that is not the norm to honor. And that is our job and that is our duty as believers. Amen?